It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The first advantage, Marty, is that you save a lot of money. Litigation, as we lawyers know, can be an expensive proposition. It can be expensive not only in terms of the money you put out of your pocket, but you miss time from work and that sort of thing. Mediation is also important because it's a quicker remedy. Your courts have got crowded dockets. I know in some juvenile courts in the area, it's 6 months, 8 months before you can get custody issues resolved. That's a terrible thing. Another aspect of mediation is that it, like all agreements, is something that the clients work out between themselves with the assistance of a mediator, rather than having a judge, I hate to use the word ram it down their throat, but that's what it comes down to.
Private attorney and mediator Andy Wood talks about mediation and other options for resolving disputes outside of court. And during this week's question and answer, you'll learn why it's so important to continue filing weekly unemployment compensation claims and what to do when the Virginia Employment Commission's system locks you out and won't let you file. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 65, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR, 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. One of the nation's biggest payday lenders will pay the state $85,000 to settle allegations it violated the Payday Loan Act 119 times. An audit of Advance America by the State Corporation Commission found violations which included taking an interest in property to secure a loan, which state law bans, making more than a single loan at a time to a borrower, taking post-dated checks as security for or repayment of a loan, not properly completing loan agreements, not allowing borrowers to make partial payments without penalty, not giving borrowers written notices required by state law about the risks of payday loans, and taking checks that weren't properly endorsed as security for payday loans. Although Advance America referred to the violations as technical, in each case state law was violated and showed that customers weren't being treated the right way, said Irene Leach, president of the Virginia Citizens Consumer Council. Leach noted that the settlement was a small amount for Advance America, which made a $38 million profit on revenue of $676 million from its operations in the U.S., Canada, and Britain last year. In other news, the Virginia Unemployment Compensation Trust Fund that pays benefits to unemployed workers became insolvent in October. As the unemployment rate has continued to increase in Virginia, rising from 3.2% in January 2007 to the current 6.5%, the average tax per employee paid by Virginia employers into the trust fund has dropped from $155 in 2006 to $95 this year. Not surprisingly, the trust fund, which had a surplus of $550 million at the beginning of 2009, went into the red in October and is projected to finish the year with a deficit of almost $200 million. The insolvency is expected to continue through all of 2010 and 2011, but unemployment compensation benefits will be unaffected because Virginia will be borrowing almost $1.3 billion to pay benefits. However, this will come at a cost, as Virginia will be repaying this loan with interest, almost $37 million in interest payments. Because employer taxes were cut in good times, they're now increasing in bad times, and projected to rise from $95 per employee this year to $263 per employee by 2012. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is court mediator. A court mediator is a trained outside person who helps disagreeing parties talk to each other. It's up to the judge whether to appoint a court mediator. The parties don't have to pay for a court mediator. The court mediator tries to understand the dispute and help the parties solve it. The court mediator doesn't decide anything or force a solution. Most often, a court mediator is appointed in consumer and family law cases. Usually, a court mediator is not used when there has been domestic violence or family abuse. If an agreement is not reached by mediation, the judge will hear the case. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and court mediator is this week's legal term of the week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Wendy, and I'm from Chesterfield.
Welcome to the show, Wendy. What question do we have this week?
I was just wondering, my husband has filed for unemployment, and we were sending in our weekly submittals on jobs, and he was denied unemployment, and then we stopped getting the emails. Do you know why that would be?
And were these the emails asking that you submit the weekly job searches?
Yes.
Well, Wendy, that is unfortunately a real common problem. That shouldn't be happening, but it seems to be happening with increasing frequency. As you know, unemployment compensation is paid on a weekly basis, and you have to submit a claim every week. You have up to 28 days to submit a late weekly claim, but you do have to submit it week by week by week, and you have to keep submitting the claims while your claim is pending, whether you lose and you have appealed, or whether you win and your employer has appealed. And the Virginia Employment Commission should keep that claim, quote, open, unquote, at least until your appeal period for a decision has passed. And the appeal period for a decision is 30 days. So the system shouldn't lock you out. The system shouldn't close the claim until at least 30 days have passed from a decision. And of course, if you win, then the claim should stay open for the duration of your claim and beyond, because Congress keeps passing one extension after another. So the short answer is no, I don't know why the system has done that other than it's simply a mistake. A mistake that you'll probably have to get corrected at the Mechanicsville office of the Virginia Employment Commission, which is the only full-time office that is available in the Richmond area. And you'll probably have to go up there with your husband's job searches and spend maybe several hours talking to somebody about getting those claims, first of all, reopened, and then second, resubmit or submit your late claims, and then finally be able to continue to submit the ongoing claims. Is this information what you were looking for?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and I will do that.
Okay, thank you so much.
keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up the freedom land.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we're speaking with attorney and mediator Andy Wood. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Marty. Pleasure to be here.
Tell our listeners, first of all, what exactly is mediation?
Well, mediation is simply a process. I call it a process in which two people who've got a dispute, two or more people really, who've got a dispute, engage the services of a third party. It can be a non-lawyer, but frequently, and matter of fact, most frequently, it is a lawyer. And this third party is somebody who's neutral, who has no interest in the outcome of the dispute one way or the other. And his function or her function is simply to get the parties to reach an agreement outside of court. That's the important thing.
Now, is the mediation process entirely voluntary?
Not always. With me, it's voluntary. I'm a private lawyer, and my clients are people who engage my services on the recommendation of another lawyer, or perhaps through an ad. Many times when people file proceedings in court, and this is particularly true in domestic cases in the juvenile courts, custody issues and that sort of thing, the court will refer them to mediation, and that's a different outfit. I don't engage in that, but they're qualified mediators who attempt to resolve those disputes, and that is court ordered. So in that sense, that's not voluntary. I suppose it's voluntary in the sense that you can always turn down the court, but that's not a wise thing to do. So I don't think that's voluntary. With me, it's voluntary.
And does this process ever lead to something that is binding on the parties once they've decided to engage in it, or can they always start the process and then just break it off and say, no, we're not going to be bound by this?
No, they can either be bound or not be bound as they choose. You're always going to walk away with a written agreement, or you should. Sometimes that's not, obviously not possible. If you don't get a written agreement, then the mediation hadn't worked. But at any point, either party to the mediation can say, well, I don't think it's going to work, I'm not proceeding. So it's not a commitment to reach an agreement. The only commitment is to attempt to reach an agreement. And most people who come into the process are going to try to do that.
Tell our listeners, then, what are the advantages to mediation?
Oh, boy. the advantages are many. The first advantage, and I'll try to list some of them, and this list is not exhaustive, but the first advantage, Marty, is that you save a lot of money. Litigation, as we lawyers know, can be an expensive proposition. Can be expensive not only in the terms of the money you put out of your pocket, but you miss time from work and that sort of thing. Mediation is also important because it's a quicker remedy. Your courts have got crowded dockets. I know in some juvenile courts in the area, it's 6 months, 8 months before you can get custody issues resolved. That's a terrible thing. Another aspect of mediation is that it, like all agreements, is something that the clients work out between themselves with the assistance of a mediator, rather than having a judge, I hate to use the word ram it down their throat, but that's what it comes down to, and it's something the parties agree on that they can live with. They may not be totally happy with it, but it's something that they've chosen, and that's important. So those three and many more, it saves you a lot of emotional trauma and that sort of thing, and it's important from that aspect as well.
And because the parties control the outcome and they're involved in producing that outcome, do you find that people are more likely to live by and obey a agreement reached by mediation as opposed to the court order that has come down by the judge?
Yeah, I think so. It's something that they've structured. But not only that, but when you reach a mediated agreement, most of the time that agreement is going to end up in the form of a court order at some point down the road. So you've got both the fact that the parties have agreed to this, and it's something that they structured. And it's also, you're going to have the teeth of a court order if there's a later unfortunate decision not to abide by the agreement.
Well, take us now through the mediation process. How does it work step by step? Start at the beginning and just sort of lead us through that.
All right. I'm going to give you how one would happen with me. I've been through mediations, of course, with in the court-ordered aspect, so I know about it from both angles. But generally, I'll get an inquiry from the lawyers from the parties, or occasionally from the parties who are not represented. And I make it clear from the beginning exactly what the mediation is all about. I make it clear that when they come to mediation, that each party has got to come with an idea that they're willing to negotiate. If anybody comes in with the idea that, Mr. Mediator, I want you to convince the other side that I'm right and I'm not going to budge, then the mediation is not going to work, because that person's stance is inflexible. So both parties have got to be willing to give. Both parties have got to be willing to listen to the other side's merits and to understand it. And both parties have got to be willing to commit the time necessary to get it done. And for that reason, a lot of people will say, well, I want to, schedule a mediation in the morning, or, we can get this done in a couple of hours. Marty, I will rarely agree to do one unless they're willing to commit a full day to it. Now, that doesn't mean it takes a day. But I don't want anybody to be in a hurry once they get to the process. You got to take your time. You got to be careful about where you're going, and you got to take the time to listen to the mediator, to listen to the other side. So you got to be willing to commit the time to it. I've got one rule in mediation, and I think all mediators feel the same way, or in my view, they should, and that is that the one cardinal rule is civility. You can't come in with a chip on your shoulder. You can't come in and yell at the other side. You've got to do it in a gentlemanly, gentlewomanly fashion. You got to be courteous to the other side. You got to be courteous to the mediator. And if, when I get into a mediation and I find one of the parties violating my cardinal rule of civility, then I'll get them aside and talk to them, perhaps like a Dutch uncle. And it's understandable, because you're dealing with subjects that can cause an emotional outbreak. But a mediator has to be careful to recognize those lapses and to get people under control. You'll never mediate, you'll never reach an agreement in an angry context. So that's important, and that's one thing that I think mediators are able to do that the parties themselves might have a very, very difficult time doing.
Now, you mentioned the time factor a little earlier, that generally you're going to schedule a mediation for a full day. Do you generally find you need more than one mediation session, or do you find that one will typically suffice?
Well, generally, it one day will work, and it can be a long day. For example, it's not unusual at all to start at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then at 5 o'clock, which is quitting time for a lot of the population, you're close, but you just haven't quite gotten it done. And what I'll suggest there is, well, let's take a break and, get a sandwich, a pack of nabs or whatever, and, if y'all would like to continue, we'll continue as long as it takes. And I've been there till 11 o'clock at night. I don't push anybody. If people have got health issues or they're truly too tired to do it, then we'll break and we'll come back another day. But generally, a day will do it. Sometimes I've got one case now where one party has got a physical difficulty, and it's very, very difficult for this person to meet for longer than, say, a couple of hours without becoming very, very uncomfortable. So we'll get some done, maybe reach an agreement on one issue. This is typically going to be a case where there are several issues, and then we'll reconvene a few weeks later on another issue. And we'll take as much time as the parties are willing to take to get it done.
Now, you mentioned earlier that family law cases are fairly commonly mediated. In addition to family law cases, custody and things of that nature, what other types of disputes can and are mediated?
Oh, well, many disputes. For example, personal injury cases, contract cases. Many contracts, incidentally, and one would be, one example would be moving, you know, where you've got a moving contract, a moving van is supposed to move your furniture. Many of those contracts will require mediation, and so that's the kind of dispute that might get mediated. Any dispute at all can get mediated.
And are there particular types of disputes or cases that are not appropriate for mediation?
Well, I don't know that it's particular types. I can't think of any type other than, I can't think of a particular type of case that couldn't be potentially mediated. A particular case might not be suitable for mediation if I find, as a mediator, that one party is rigid in his or her approach, or they've got unreasonable expectations, or they're using it for a purpose other than to get an agreement. For example, let's say a party in a divorce case, I feel, wants to use it to force an unreasonable position on his or her spouse. That type case, just you tell them right from the beginning, look, mediation isn't for you. Your approach to it is wrong. But other than that, I can't think of any particular kind of case off the top of my head that wouldn't be a proper subject for mediation.
Now, if someone chooses mediation, are they giving up any options if they go down that route?
No, I don't think so. The mediation process is a confidential process, and so any information that you tell the mediator, it's kept in confidence, and so it's a no risk. It really is a no risk kind of a thing. In cases today, civil cases, we've got discovery, so you can obtain by discovery practically anything you need. So there's no chance that somebody's going to, at least I don't think there's any realistic chance that somebody will spill the beans on an issue, as it were, and disadvantage himself or herself later on. So there really is a no-risk deal.
And I guess to wrap this up, the final question is, how often do you get success in a mediation situation?
Truly 90% or better. That's no exaggeration. It's not me as a mediator. Other mediators will tell you, I think, the same thing. And the reason for that, Marty, I think, is that you start off with a big plus, and that is that those people are there because they want to work it out.
Sounds like this is truly a win-win situation. We have been speaking with attorney Andy Wood about mediation. Andy is a mediator as well as a private attorney, and I appreciate you being on the show, Andy.
Marty, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk with you.
You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about collaborative law. The first tip is that collaborative law is a new way to resolve legal disputes, which each party has a separate and specially trained attorney whose only job is to help the parties reach an agreement without going to court. The second tip is that in collaborative law, everyone agrees to work together with respect, honesty, and good faith and find win-win solutions to the reasonable needs of both parties. The third tip is that if the attorneys don't succeed in helping the client settle, they are out of a job and can't represent either client against the other. No one may go to court or threaten to. If anyone goes to court, collaborative law ends, and the parties must get new lawyers. for the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips about collaborative law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Dividing property during a divorce offers almost endless possibilities for conflict and often can be more controversial than custody, support, or visitation. Tune in next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, private attorney Sandra Bowen, explains how property acquired during a marriage gets divided during a divorce. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.